Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preached this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
Yeah, it's great, George. Yeah, it's perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. So this is a busy season for the life of the church. I don't know if you heard from the 38,000 announcements that I tried my best to get through, but it's a very busy season in the life of the church. It's easy for me as your pastor to forget our why behind all of the what and the hows that we do. And today I want to work against that. I'm so grateful, and it happens so often, which fills me with so much gratitude and joy, that when people come to me and they tell me that my sermon was good, I fight the urge to say, you too, you know, like, have a good flight, you too, that sort of feeling, but it's so wonderful to hear that. Every single time, though, there's a massive correlation between when someone tells me that my sermon resonated with them and how much I needed to hear the sermon. If I need to hear the sermon, if I'm preaching about something that I desperately need to hear, then it's probably going to resonate with you. Today is one such sermon. I need to hear this message more than anyone else. Today, I am mostly preaching to myself, and you all get to watch it. You're welcome. This is a message that I need to hear, and I hope it resonates with you as well. I need this word today. I need to remember in all of the planning and preparing our why is always worth fighting for. The first thing that I'm going to say today, first thing you can write in your paper bulletin, or if you want to take digital notes, you can go to our website and click on the button that says sermon notes, believe it or not, and you can take digital notes if that's easier for you, but it's this. Nothing can stop the church when she shares a mission. Nothing can stop the church when she shares a mission. We're going to be reading from the book of Ezekiel today. And if you hear me say that like two more times in the next 10 years, I'll be pretty surprised. The book of Ezekiel is the technical term, really weird. There's lots of images and stories in Ezekiel that are hard for us to understand. Ezekiel will go off on a mountain and he'll see an angel. But the angel isn't, you know, some guy in a robe with flapping wings, but rather is a wheel of fire covered in eyeballs. You don't see that in a lot of children's storybooks. You really don't. You know, it's not an easy book to talk about because Ezekiel was a prophet written and speaking to the people of Israel while they're being exiled, while they're in a place where they lack identity, they lack who they are, they lack their personhood. Ezekiel is a part of a people that were made to feel like a political football. Instead of having their own distinct identity that they get to decide who it is, instead they're being used by the politicians of their day in Babylonia. So the people of Israel are a talking point instead of a community. I think it's important for us to hear from Ezekiel because I feel that the American church is being used as a football more and more in our day-to-day lives. Both sides of the aisle will talk about the Christian identity of this or the Christian mission of that. And instead of being distinct individuals who are trying to follow Jesus, I feel, and I don't know if you feel this way too, I can feel as if I'm getting carried and run into a field by someone who doesn't have my best interests in mind. Christians more and more are getting identified as almost as if it's an advertisement rather than a way of life. I feel so often that the title of Christian is being co-opted by politicians and organizations that I wish just wouldn't. I don't have it on my bingo card for 2026 necessarily, but I wouldn't be surprised if Coca-Cola came out with Coca-Cola Christian, really just marketed towards us. And I'm tired of it. And I hope that Ezekiel can speak to us in this way. That as we, as a church, as a community, as people who follow Jesus, more and more get picked up and run around like a political football, maybe we can hear from Ezekiel. But the thing I'm going to say again and again, the thing I hope gets stuck in your head is that nothing can stop the church when she shares a mission. So Ezekiel chapter 37, if you want, you can turn in your paper Bibles or get on a digital Bible and go to Ezekiel chapter 37. We're going to be reading through verses 1 through 7. Here at Shepherd's, we have a tradition where when the reader is done reading, they'll say the word of God for us, the people of God. Then all of you will say thanks be to God. But we like to add a little bit of energy, a little bit of joy behind it. So we add the word woo. So be ready with your woo. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord's power overcame me. And while I was in the Lord's spirit, he led me out and set me down in the middle of a certain valley. It was full of bones. He led me through them all around, and I saw that there were a great many of them on the valley floor, and they were very dry. He asked me, "Human one, can these bones live again?" I said, "Lord God, only you know." He said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the Lord's word. The Lord God proclaims to these bones, I am about to put breath in you and you will live again. I will put sinews on you, place flesh on you, and cover you with skin. When I put breath in you and you come to life, you will know that I am the Lord.' I prophesied just as I was commanded, just as I was commanded. There was a great noise as I was prophesying, then a great quaking, and the bones came together, bone by bone." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Very good. This passage is perfect for the Halloween season. I did not choose it just for that. I feel like the Looney Tunes would have done a really great job of this and made some sort of jaunty tune out of the bone by bone bit. I really do. But Ezekiel is a prophet, and a prophet is someone who speaks for God. That's a prophet's job. A prophet goes to a group of people and say, "Great news, I was talking with God recently, and God said that God's pretty mad at you." If you read the Old Testament, that's pretty much what the prophets are saying. "Hey, guys, good news, God was talking to me. Bad news, woo, you guys should probably sit down." And in Ezekiel, Ezekiel is doing that job. Ezekiel is listening. Because in order for us to speak for God, we must first be willing to listen. In the busyness of life, it is so easy for me to miss out on the moments where I can listen. It is so easy for me to skip over the so important part as a follower of Jesus, which is listening to God's word, and so importantly, to the people around me. It is so easy for me to move and move and move and care about things that are not as important as the burdens on your heart or the problems that you're carrying. Or the problems that you're carrying from your community, or the pain that our neighborhood feels. It's so easy for me to focus on everything other than listening. But in order for us to speak for God, we must first be willing to listen. In the face of unbearable problems, it is sometimes the work of the church to listen. What if Shepherd's was known as a church that was willing to listen? If we were brave enough, if we were courageous enough to listen first, ask questions, and act later, if we were willing to listen, I wonder what that would look like. Because nothing can stop the church when she shares a mission. Sometimes I forget the mission of this church. And I don't just mean like, you know, love God, love people, you know, that sort of thing. Do you know that our church has a mission statement? Well, we were pretty hot on it. I was pretty hot on it for about 2 weeks, and then I got distracted. Forgive me. I'll just be really honest with you. Your pastor is really good at a couple different things. I feel like, you know, I love well, I listen well, I try to be a good pastor, I try to preach pretty well, but I'm pretty bad at other things, like super duper bad. Last night, the LeBlancs went to a wedding. I got to officiate a wedding for a student of mine. It was a really fun time. It was really great. And about 11 p.m. the night before, I realized, the wedding is at 3. Checkout at this hotel is at 11. I don't know what to do, right? I don't know what to do because it isn't easy. I don't know if you've tried this before. It isn't easy to get ready for a wedding at a gas station, right? The Starbucks barista will knock on the door and be like, "You have to stop using a hairdryer. I can hear you." And so I got to call another great hotel in the thriving metropolis of Brooksville and beg them, nay, plea, that they might let us be there for four short hours. Long story short, I got to learn a lesson only at the fee of like $175, which is great. But it was me that forgot. I forget things. You see me carrying around a purse, I look dumb, but you know, if I wear a purse, I don't forget anything. I don't know where my cell phone is. I hope it's in my purse. If it was on top of the roof of this building, would not be surprised. I have lots of gifts and abilities, and I forget things. I forgot to remember and push and share the mission. Sometimes I get so focused on the how and the what of the church, I can sometimes forget the why. Our world is filled to the brim with churches that have forgotten the why. May we never be counted among them again. Church can get so focused on the what and the how, on the style of worship, the cadence of preaching, the branding, the live stream, the bulletin, the things that matter so deeply, if and only if your why matters more. So forgive me. Today, I want to share the mission with you, and I want you to hear it, and I want us to commit it to our hearts. With God's help, we embrace and connect with all people and together experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. Yeah, give it up for the mission. With God's help, we embrace and connect with all people and together experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. A church that shares a mission, nothing can stop her. Nothing can stop the church when she shares a mission. So why do I forget? I don't know. Maybe I'm not taking enough ginkgo biloba. Did anyone else feel like I heard all about ginkgo biloba for like 10 years and then it disappeared? Just like athlete's foot. Like, did anyone else? Boom, tough actin, tin actin with John Madden over and over and over again. And then did we cure it? I don't know. I need to talk to a physician and see if we, like, you know, I feel like there was a fun run for athlete's foot and then all of a sudden it was gone. But the same with like ginkgo biloba. Maybe I need to take fish oil, drink less coffee, more coffee. I don't know. All I know is that I do forget things. But why do I forget the mission? Well, it could be that it's a lot of words, maybe. You know, it's we embrace and connect. What does that mean? The light, love, and hope. As some of you might remember, might be lucky enough to have been around when I made t-shirts with light, love, and hope instead of love, light, and hope, like it's supposed to be. You can still buy those misprints on our website. I decided to turn it into a learning opportunity for all of us and charge $100 for a t-shirt, but no one's bought that yet, but that's okay. We'll keep the bait in the water just to see as an opportunity. Could it be that it's a lot of words? Maybe. And maybe it's those words mean a lot of things to a lot of different people and I don't fully understand them all the time. Could it also be that dreams are harder to see happen? I think that might be it. I read our mission and I see a lot of dreams, a lot of possibilities, a lot of hopes. And it's easier for me to hold on to the things that are tangible, easy, and reachable. I wonder sometimes, friends, do we miss out on the impossible while pursuing the doable? I wonder if I miss out on the mission, those impossible things listed one right after the other, because I'm thinking about the doable. The love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ, that's a big ask. That's a big thing to share with all people. All people, there's 8 billion of us. You know, we're getting there bit by bit, person by person, but 8 billion is a pretty big number. It's a lot easier for me to think, you know, I may not be able to, you know, embrace and connect with all people, but I can at least sign some people up for a pumpkin patch. And I may not be able to embrace and connect all people, but, you know, we got 15 trunks for the trunk or treat. And I hold on to the doable instead of pursuing the impossible. Maybe I'm obsessed with the pumpkin patch because imagining a world where our church pays off all the medical debt in our city seems further away. It's easier for me to imagine that the pumpkin patch could be filled, and it's harder for me to imagine that reality. I know that I just said something that you may not have heard before. Did you know, friends, did you know that organizations like churches can purchase medical debt for pennies on the dollar? Which means you can purchase $1 million worth of medical debt for something like $50,000, which is a lot of money. And we've got an air conditioner that works beautifully. We love you. And one day we'll have to replace it. And it's easier for me to look at the doable, to look at the pumpkin patch, to look at, you know, Advent, Christmas Eve. By the way, really exciting. We're going to have 4 Christmas Eve services this year. And I'm really excited. Yeah. We're going to have like one for little kids. We're going to have a late night one over at Chapel Campus. It's going to be great. You all have to volunteer. Anyways, it's going to be really, really fun. And it's easier to look at the doable because the idea of doing something so extravagant and full of God's love and so kingdom bringing is harder for me to see. Maybe that's why I forget the mission sometimes. Maybe that's why. The doable clouds my eyes from the impossible. But I'm reminded of this reality, that nothing can stop the church when she shares a mission. All right, back to Ezekiel. So you look in this passage, this weird little verse, and I encourage you to read the rest of Ezekiel. It is bananas. It is really weird. It's super fun. It's weird. But you look at this passage, and Ezekiel is in front of a valley filled with bones. You might already know this about me, but I am, as you know, the French would say, a scaredy cat. I don't like scary movies. I don't like scary things. The scariest movie I ever saw was Up, because old age comes for us all. And that is all I need. I don't need, oh, you should see this horror film. It's like, you know, it's like really, no, I don't. I really, really don't. I've watched the news once. That was enough horror for me. Thank you very much. I am a scaredy cat. I don't need that. But if you read this passage, this is a valley filled with bones. Your scariest haunted house could never. And then not only are there a bunch of bones, but then God says to Ezekiel, I'm going to speak to them, and then I'm going to make them rise up. To which I would say, pass, Lord. I know that, let's leave them dead, right? Because bones, they stay dead, right? Bones stay that way. Dead things typically stay that way. Like Ezekiel, we do not lack examples of how things have gone wrong. There are so many examples of how churches have tried their best and failed, of organizations that have tried to be different and ended up being just the same, of people that have been driven and called by purpose to be taken down by faults and failures of their own. We have plenty of examples. Many of you are here at this church because of churches that harmed you before. I know this. We, in many ways, look at the call in front of us and we see a valley filled with bones. We have examples of how those things will stay dead and never rise again. But what does God say to Ezekiel? Human one, can dead bones live again? Can dead bones live again? And I love what Ezekiel says. Only you would know. Shepherds, I have a question for you. Can the things that have gone wrong be made right? Can the things that have gone wrong in our world be made right? Can they be put back together? Can the relationships that are failing in your life be put back together? Can the people in your life that have broken your heart, can they be reconciled back to you? Can the neighborhood that you live in be reclaimed for the gospel and a place of hope and love once more? Can the broken things be made right? Can the dead bones rise again? Friends, nothing can stop a church when she shares a mission. We need to reclaim the mission. Ezekiel is a voice we hear now because those dry bones keep rising. We keep seeing more and more dry bones in our neighborhood. We keep seeing the need for the church to show up and live into her mission. The bones moved because of God's ruach. All right, everyone say that with me. Ruach. Ugh. Yeah, exactly. Right, let's try that again, okay? I'm going to say it, and then you're going to say it, all right? We're going to participate. Ruach. Very good. Yeah, very spitty, right? If it clears up the throat, it's kind of like a tea with honey. If you say enough Hebrew words, it'll clear you right up. But the ruach is the breath of God. It is what God fills Adam's lungs with in the Genesis narrative. If you've ever read the creation narrative in Genesis, God comes and blows into Adam's mouth, filling him with life. The ruach that God talks about here, I'm going to breathe my breath over you. That's that word that when I put breath in you and you come to life, you will know that I'm the Lord. I will ruach in you and you will come to life. The bones don't move without God's breath. The bones do not move without God's breath. And I think so many churches can sometimes basically be picking up the bones and saying, here, we're doing it. We're doing the thing. We're going to do more and more and never stop and keep programming and trying and doing and doing. And they forget the mission. They miss out on the ruach. They miss out on the breath of God. Because the mission that God has given to us is the breath. And nothing can stop the church when she shares a mission. The mission of the church is our ruach. If that will fill our lungs, nothing will be able to stop us. If we will be animated, if we will be powered, if we will be driven by this mission, the world will be changed. Our neighborhood will be changed. Our programming will have a reason why behind it. You know, everyone that came and helped move pumpkins, we didn't do that for any reason other than a ruach that filled our lungs. Maybe the ruach that got you there, and this is okay, is because I begged you and I pleaded, right? Maybe you were promised ice cream afterwards if you went. That's one of the reasons why I did it. I went to Andy's afterwards. It was delicious. It was so good. The reason why you serve in kids ministry, the reason why you come and you give and you're generous, the reason why is a different ruach for all of us, but if we could share a ruach together, if we could have a drive and a mission that we shared, nothing would be able to stop us. Without the why of God's breath, our how won't matter. Let's see the mission again. With God's help, we embrace and connect with all people, and together experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. We need this mission to help us to say yes to some things and no to others. If we are going to be driven by the ruach of God, if that is what is going to animate us like these dry bones rising again, bone by bone, we will need this mission. We will see dead things come alive again if we will allow the breath of God to fill our lungs. If we are willing to let the breath of God fill our lungs, we will see dry bones rise again. The valley of dry bones will stand up and know that the Lord is our God. Our neighborhood will change and transform. People will know that the church is for them if we simply allow the ruach of God, the mission of God, to fill our lungs. So, nothing can stop the church when she shares a mission. What I want you to do, I've got two action points for you. The first is, I want you to take a picture of the mission and share it on social media if you want to be so bold. And if that's less your vibe, then I want you to take a picture of it so you can commit it to memory and hold on to it. Can we see that beautiful bean footage real quick? Not that one, but the mission. Here you go. I want you to take a picture of this so that you can share it on social media if you're so bold. But I also want you to take it so you can commit it to memory. Don't be forgetful like me. Let this be the ginkgo biloba of the church. May we hold on to this fish oil of our days so that we can hold on to this and share it and be driven by it, the mission of our church. And then secondly, I want you to pick a portion of it and try to live it out. I want you to pick a portion of the mission and try to live it out. Maybe it's light, maybe it's hope. Yes, Nick?
Can we get the vision back on?
Yeah, I bet we could. Yeah, I want you to. Pick a portion of it and try to live it out. We'll see it in just a second. Maybe it's the light. Maybe you want to tell people that there's a hope, there's something new, there's something alive within us. Can we see the mission again, Jerry? Thank you. Maybe it's the love. Maybe you just want to love someone that doesn't feel loved. Maybe you want to live into the hope. Maybe you want to look at the news and say that this is not how it's always going to be. Maybe you want to embrace and connect with all people. You want to talk to someone you haven't talked to before. You want to actually disclose why you're a good person or try to be and say that it's Jesus' fault that you're changed and you're different. Maybe there's something in this mission that is speaking to you and you feel your dry bones rattling and moving. you feel a new thing alive in you. Maybe the Ruach of God is filling your lungs. I want you to hold on to something. So those are the two things. I want you to, a lot of you I've already seen, thank you so much, taking a picture. I want you to memorize it, and I want you to live into one portion of it. Because friends, believe me, nothing can stop the church when she shares a mission. Here's an example of this. There's thousands and thousands of examples of this, but the one that's laid on my heart right now is that, I don't know if you know this, but John Wesley, the founder of the United Methodist Movement, was a strong abolitionist. He saw the practice of human slavery and thought, obviously, that it was abhorrent and wanted to see it changed. His last letter was to William Wilberforce, before he passed away, to William Wilberforce, who was the main abolitionist in the United Kingdom. When John Wesley was alive, slavery was a common practice. It was the norm. It was what was expected. We have so many things in our culture that aren't exactly like human slavery, but there are plenty of things that are expected, that are the norm. And we just move along and saying, that's the way it is. But John Wesley was so filled with the Ruach of God that thousands of others were also filled with that same Ruach. And now we live in a time where human slavery is no longer the norm. It's still happening, but it is no longer the norm. Something changed. I wonder what will happen because of this church, that in a decade, in a century, in 500 years, people will say, this is the way it was, it is no longer that way, and it is because that the Ruach of God filled the lungs of the people at Shepherd so much that things changed. Because friends, nothing can stop the church when she shares a mission. Let's pray together.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week and be blessed.